and welcome to the Pinstripe Ballet Podcast, dry edition, hopefully, now, maybe. I'm Andrew Burns. I'm Andrew Burns, joined by Kunj. How are you?
I'm doing all right. The Yankees, I realize my mood goes as the Yankees go, so, it's not a bad week.
Yeah, still just rolling along. It was very, very weird considering they had three consecutive days off, which doesn't normally happen in non-All-Star break parts of the baseball season.
Right.
But the rain in New York had other plans and forced the Yankees into quite a little conundrum there.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm in Jersey, so I'm not that far outside of Manhattan. Like, the rain wasn't even that bad, but it was just annoying and literally nonstop for 48 hours. It was kind of incredible.
Yeah,
there was no break.
Yeah, there was no window for them to get in. Even if you had started to play in light rain, it wouldn't have really made too much sense because they don't want people to hurt either. So,
it didn't make sense for them to play, but it was just annoying because it was just funny because it wasn't that bad of rain. Like, I think if a game had started, they may not have stopped it and played through it type of rain. But the fact that it was just continuous for 48 hours, it was just kind of incredible. Like, one thing I will say is I'm glad that they announced everything early on.
Yes. So no one wasted their time going out.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't going to go to these games anyway. So I'm not part of those people, but it must be nice to just not have to know early on in the morning. We're not even going to bother today. So don't even, come.
Yeah. I still have a core memory from when Jeter was chasing 3000. One of my friends and I decided that we were going to go to the game, and we went all the way in via Andrea Transit, and then they said, right at the gate, oh, yeah, it rained out. So we had to go all the way back to Jersey. And, we did go the next day to see it, but it was just okay, well, that was unfortunate. What are we going to do with our afternoon now?
Yankees that's your problem.
Yeah.
Not mine.
But we are not here to talk about the 2011 Yankees. They are a distant memory.
That's
although we do miss 11 Robinson
years Cano. I always miss Robinson Cano.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe he will be an Oriole or a Long Island Duck, who knows.
Perhaps.
Yeah, but the Yankees had to play three games in the span of 36 hours with a single admission doubleheader on Sunday, and then they lost an off day to make up their other game with the Rangers, and fortunately they won that game, and they won back-to-back games against the Blue Jays, which is even more impressive than that Rangers series, because the Rangers, as we saw, are not very good, and the Blue Jays are supposed to be, at least, better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays have been helped by, Vlad just being just good or just very good.
Yeah, he is. It's weird. He's only showed up really against the Yankees in that one game in early April when he hit three home runs. But other than that, he's just been chasing bad pitches, bouncing into double plays. And we will take the Vladdy slump while it lasts, because it will not. And as long as it lasted for these stretch of games against the Yankees against the Blue Jays, they played them a lot early in the season. Hopefully by the time the Yankees meet them again, maybe he'll be tapering off at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just glad that the Yankees get a majority of their game, or at least half their games out of the way against the Jays. So we don't have to, Vlad's just kind of going through the motions. So huzzah.
I guess they do play them again middle of June up in Toronto. But then other than that, they don't see them again until August.
Yeah.
So we'll take it.
Yeah.
Because I still do not enjoy facing that lineup, and George Springer is still just a constant menace. He never stops. The only time he stops is when he's injured. But whenever he's on the field against the Yankees, he's just throttling them.
Yeah, he has no chill.
No.
But no, yeah. I mean, obviously, the Toronto series is huge to take two. It was a couple close games.
Yeah, and that first game especially, I mean, we're going to be talking about that Aaron Judge walk-off for a long, long time, and that game was such a weird one too, because they only got five hits, and then there was the benches clearing stuff, there was Montoyo getting ejected, there's some ump show stuff. It was just a truly bizarre game, but they pulled it out.
That game was wild, and they were being no hit into the fifth or sixth, whatever that was.
Yeah, then that was the inning. They sort of changed things up. They got the game-tying homer from Giancarlo Stanton, which looked like it was pummeled, but only ended up going like 340 feet, which is maybe the one of the shortest home runs of Giancarlo Stanton's career.
I think according to the Would It Dong Twitter, it would have gone out in two of the 30 ballparks.
Hell yeah. It's the only one that matters, Chris Woodward.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a whole, that was another thing for the weekend, but that, we will wait before we backslide into that part because the Blue Jays stuff is more interesting.
Right.
That was a pretty good pitching performance by Severino because he looked like he had nothing early on, but then he put it together. He, unlike Jordan Montgomery, he was able to wave Aaron Boone off to stay in the game, and he gave them five innings.
Look, as I said, when the Montgomery thing happened, as I said, you got to act like you mean it. Like, Jordan Montgomery was straight up like, can I please stay?
No.
Severino, Cole, they both just told Boone, it's like, sit your ass back down and stay in the dugout. He's like, all right, yeah, I guess I'm not doing anything.
And Monty's like, please don't. I want to stay in.
Please, can I play?
Yeah, and I'm sure part of it is still just this long stretch of games that the Yankees are in, where it's 23 games in 22 days. Boone is probably more likely to be like, okay, fine. We'll see what Severino can do with this than with the Jordan Montgomery thing. But like,
any extra innings that the starting staff can pitch is going to go a long way, just because we talked about how they were going to be 20 games in 20 days, which is brutal in and of itself. But then because of the rain, it turned into 23 games in 22 days. So, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, it somehow got busier. They actually will need a sixth starter for the game today, Thursday. And Luis Gil is coming up from AAA to start that, since it's too soon, since Clark Schmidt was last option to bring him back up. So that's another fun thing of the rain. And Heal has not quite looked as impressive as he did late last year in AAA this year, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he has a 9.53 ERA this year.
Yeah, definitely falls under the category of not quite as impressive.
Yes, I was going to say, that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
But he is coming off of a five-inning pitch, no walks, nine strikeout outing, so
he's back.
You know, he's back.
Yeah.
He's on the heels of success. Is that a thing that makes sense? I don't know.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with it.
Yeah. I will say, though, I'm glad that the rain happened when it happened, because they were able to come back to face Texas, because, like, the offense looked like they were rusty and groggy for, like, that whole series. I mean, that whole Rangers series,
they scored five runs
in three games. But won two out of three games.
Yeah, which is just an absolute testament to the pitching on this team. And really, there was like one bad inning on the second game on Sunday when Michael King didn't have it for the first time all year. And that was pretty much the ballgame.
Yeah, if Michael King stays robotic and doesn't turn into a human, then they might actually sweep while still only scoring five runs.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, so, and it's good because, like, obviously it helps that the Rangers are just not that great of a team, so that helps. And it kind of gave them a little bit of time to kind of wake up in the fifth inning of the Toronto game, and then the offense has been okay again.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because it's not like they're going gangbusters. They're just like, they're eking out these wins. Even the afternoon game yesterday was not, like, a big blowout by any means. It just turned into the Gleyber Torres show, because he had the big home run, then drove in the other two runs, and that was the entire offense.
Gleyber was responsible for as many runs yesterday as they scored against the Rangers all that whole series.
And we'll take it, man.
Yeah.
Jameson Taillon also had a nice little recovery from a shaky start, too, because he looked, this is very similar to the Severino game, he looked like he was going to fall apart in that first inning when he loaded the bases.
Yeah. No absolutely. They've been able to recover well, which is nice. And like Severino, like especially, like he was at like 65, 67 pitches in the second inning, which is when the whole thing with Boone happened. He's like, yeah, probably a good idea to take you out here. And he's like, no, ended up pitching into the fifth.
Yeah, it's like, no, I got this. And then it's like,
I forget if he got one out or two outs in the fifth. I forget.
He got two outs.
He got two outs. So basically he came an out shy of five complete innings. So good for him.
Yeah. That's some impressive stuff from Sevy. And
yeah.
Taillon ended up going five and a third inning in his start, Michael King allowed a sack fly to let one of those runs score, but he got out of it and then did decently in the next inning. Then Clay Holmes had gotten a ground ball double play. Clay Holmes is now just in God mode, as you've put in our notes, basically.
Yes. I think I wrote, what did I write? Michael King is human, apparently, but Clay Holmes might not be.
Yeah, Clay Holmes is just might go down as one of like Cashman's like low key sneakiest steals, just because no one was really thinking twice about him, and he's just floundering in the Pirates bullpen to like, hey, what if you did not that? And then he's like, oh, good idea.
What if you did the exact? It's like the Simpsons, you do opposite of what the Pirates tell you to do.
Yeah,
comes to the Yankees like, oh, so I should just do it this way. Oh, look, I'm the best pitcher in baseball now.
Yeah, and neither like Diego Castillo or Hoyt Park are doing all that much for the Pirates. So yeah, that was fine. Maybe like, we'll take it.
And like, even if they were, like, who cares?
Yeah. Like, you could, the Yankees fortunately have built up like the kind of farm system depth where those guys were like, if you want to be generous, I would say between like the 30th and the 20th prospect in their system. And those guys are just expendable if you think you can get a good deal in exchange. And the Yankees got a pretty damn good reliever in Clay Holmes.
Yeah. And like, I know like we talked a lot about Hoyt, well, maybe not us, but people talked a lot about Hoyt Park quite often last year because Glaber's struggles at shortstop and, you know, yada, 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 yada. But again, who cares?
Yeah, it's fine.
Right now you have IKF who's playing decently. He's cooled off a little bit, but, you know, he's still providing what he was supposed to provide, I guess, at shortstop. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're just kind of waiting to see what happens with the other guys. But Hoyt Park was expendable.
Yeah, he was not going to be part of the answer. And no. I do like Diego Castillo as a young guy, but I don't think he was going to either. So anyway, we don't need to relitigate that.
Right? No, but going back to the Rangers series, though, because we just kind of glossed over this, Nestor.
Yeah, he almost threw a no-hitter. That was fun. It really looked like he was running out of gas. So I am glad that like he gave up a hit when he did, and that he didn't have to make a tough decision about the ninth, because he was, and even like after the game, I think he said basically he didn't really feel it until he was done and like back at the clubhouse, and then he's like, oh, my arm feels like I got hit by a truck or something like that.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm sure like adrenaline and whatever kicks in and all that. So like, you know, just in the moment, you don't know what the hell's going on. But as soon as you like give it a break, like, oh, shit, this hurts. Yeah,
he threw a lot of pitches for a 21st century pitcher, basically. And this is from a guy who, remember, was like, you know, out of the bullpen for the first half of last season, basically. Or I mean, I guess he was making some starts in Scranton when he was down there. But like, he was mainly a bullpen guy until like mid-July when they started stretching him out.
Yeah.
So
my favorite thing about that Nestor start, though, was I think Pitching Ninja had this like overlay gif of like two exact same fastballs, but like just the completely different deliveries for it.
Yeah.
And it was just like absolutely absurd. I'm going to try and find it.
He's just a magician of different arm angles and late life on all of his pitches. And you see how that just like throws people off. And he struck out 11 in that start.
Yeah.
Nestor good.
Nestor good. It's the power of the sash.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if he had shaved his mustache, he would not be a good starting pitcher right now.
Yeah. No way.
Nope. Just wouldn't happen.
I do enjoy that now we have started to see like kids at the stadium with fake mustaches. I endorse the fake mustache phenomenon.
Yes. It's like when Judge came up and they would start wearing those freaking wig things.
Yeah.
But this
the good
is
old
more
barrister amazing. Wigs.
Yes. That's the term for it.
Yep.
Forgot about it. I guess we should just quickly mention that Tim LoCastro went on the IL.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I was looking at this the news about this injury, and it really does seem like it might have been something that LoCastro could play through, but because the Yankees are in a situation where they need more pitchers than position players right now, anyway, they're like, you know what, just take it easy for a little bit. We'll bring you back once we're through this and we can afford to have not an extra pitcher.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it's 100% like normally, you know, you'd probably just still be around, but yeah, we could use the extra pitcher. I feel like you have kind of missed his pinch running abilities a little bit, but again, the Yankees have been winning, so like, who cares?
Yeah, that's like the benefit of when you're doing so well anyway. Then, yeah, there have probably been some situations where you could have used a pinch runner late, but it's not like they don't have people who are somewhat equipped to do that, because on any given day, the bench will have one of these guys who could come in and pinch run. Like Gallo can pinch run. He's not like the blazer that LeCastro is, but he can do that. LeMahieu's fine with that. None of these guys have the LeCastro sprint speed, but it's fine.
I'm banging the drum for Jose Trevino pinch running appearance.
Yes, yeah, he's quite speedy.
Yes, that's what they call him. Quite, yeah. Speedy Jose Trevino. Well, that's a nickname on Baseball Reference. You don't know?
Yeah, that's his Players Week in jersey. Quite speedy, Jose Trevino. The whole thing.
Yes. We should campaign to get this started.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a minor thing. They'll work through it. They need the bullpen is going to get worked, as we talked about. So they're doing what they can in this time, and hopefully they'll just keep this going. And the pitching has just been on top of their game the entire season. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, the pitching is just there's not enough you can say about them, but also like you're just going to end up being repetitive. But yeah,
Matt Blake, good.
Matt Blake, very good.
Yeah.
I guess the rain off days would have allowed them to also like shuffle their rotation a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I know you talked about like Heal coming up. So after him is going to be Cole, Montgomery, Cortez, Severino, then Taillon. So like basically they found in some way to give Severino some extra time off. Obviously, you know, trying to manage what he's putting out there, like his workload and stuff, because this is, you know, really the first time he's pitching regularly in 3 years. So
yeah, really in like 4 years, because 2018 was his last full season and he only made a few starts in 2019 at the very end. So
that's true. Yeah,
so they do need to be very careful about how many innings they're going to put him up for this year. So I'd like the move to what they did. I think they basically gave him like 7 or 8 days of rest this time instead of the normal.
Yeah, so. I think he pitched on May 1st and then the 10th.
Okay, yeah.
If I remember that right. So it works.
But he's getting his time in.
Yeah. Oh, did we talk about this already or not? But freaking Brian Cashman needs to shut up again. Wanted to throw that out there.
Just, we don't need to say anything about Aaron Judge's extension talks at this point. Just
like, I'm sure he was asked about it and that's why I brought it up. But like, there's better ways to handle it. Especially because like, oh, we're not going to say anything publicly about it now.
Now that that's out of the way, let's talk about this. Let's get into it.
Let's also hold a press conference hours before opening day, first pitch, just to announce we didn't reach a contract agreement.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, and like at this point, not you. At this point, Aaron Judge is not going to sign an extension. I mean, he made the decision.
Nor should he.
Yeah, he made the decision to bet on himself. It's paying off. He's just going to let the chips fall where they will, and the Yankees are just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, and like we talked about, like I mean, I still think that they end up figuring something out, because obviously there's at least seemingly enough interest from both sides to get this done. So I do think at the end of the day, Aaron Judge is going to be in pinstripes, but like, I'm not taking anything for granted. No. Nor should he like give any like discount or anything like that. Like, no, get what you deserve, man.
Yeah. Make your bank, set your precedence for the Players Association and go from there.
I think they should sign him to a $99 billion contract.
Good. Yes.
For just 99 years.
Just make Aaron Judge the owner. Give him the team.
Aaron Judge owns the Yankees and is also commissioner of baseball.
Yeah.
Because Brian Cashman has the authority to do that.
Yeah. He's like, Manfred's like, huh, wow, I should have checked the bylaws, but.
I guess Brian Cashman has the authority to replace me in contract negotiation. Okay.
With a player. Bye. Wow. Okay. Huh. Well, I never really did like baseball anyway, so.
Finally, I can focus on my true love. Everything else.
Yeah, literally anything. I just love lint. It's the best. Yeah. It's coarse and it gets everywhere. Like sand.
Okay. Oh, God. Now I'm going to have to Photoshop Manfred into Anakin, aren't I?
Do we? I don't know if we need to do that.
I'm not going to. I'm absolutely not going to. I don't want to look at his face.
No. Who does?
In my younger days, sure, but I'm too wise for that now.
but not too wise to not enjoy still the gif of a Hal on the rocket.
Oh, no, that's everlasting. That's evergreen.
All right. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do an ad read and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's do we want to look ahead on the schedule a little bit, see what's up next?
Yeah. So I think we talked about it a little bit, but the Yankees are on the road for the next 8 games, at least.
Yeah, road tripping.
But I think their next 4 teams are the same, or their next 4 opponents are the same 2 teams. So they travel to Chicago for a 4-game set against the White Sox, and then they go to Baltimore to play the Orioles, maybe with Robinson Cano there. Who knows? Because that's something that was rumored about.
The Robinson Cano Reels.
Exactly. And that's another 4-game set. So that pretty much takes them, you know, for the whole week. And then they come home to play the White Sox and Orioles.
Yeah, really adding variety to the spice of life here.
All I'm saying is that these next like 4 series, they really need to take advantage of. Obviously, it's going to be grueling because they're just going to be tired, but they're against not great teams. So they need to do that because they end their misery schedule of May with a set at the Trop playing the Rays, which is just going to be annoying, even if they had like, you know, proper days of rest. So
what do you mean? I thought all games at the Trop go normally. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the White Sox are just like a weird team right now, because I think they are good enough to give the Yankees a fight, especially in Chicago. So they may very well end up splitting that series, or White Sox couldn't even win, because they still have like a pretty good offense, but they've been underachieving a lot this year, and it would be really good for the Yankees to make sure that they keep doing that, basically.
Yeah, my personal theory is that they've just been quietly playing bad as a rebel against Tony La Russa, because apparently he's still a thing.
Yeah.
Which I just kind of forgot about until like 10 minutes ago, to be honest.
That he is. He's still around.
Yeah. So they're just quietly rebelling. And hopefully that continues at least for the next 4 games and then the week after as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but the game with Luis Gil, who knows, that'll go. The offense will probably have to win that one. The second game is Gerrit Cole against Vince Velasquez. So if they don't win that one, then they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Then the Jordan Montgomery faces the withered husk of Dallas Keuchel, which you'd think would favor the Yankees, but Dallas Keuchel, so who knows?
And then also, Nestor, the Yankees don't like to score runs for Montgomery.
Yeah. Yeah. The Yankees are still kind of allergic to that for whatever reason, but whatever.
Yeah.
And they've been hesitant about scoring runs for Nestor too. Like in that no hit attempt, you didn't even get the win. I think like Clay Holmes got the win for.
Oh yeah. Cause they ended up winning that 1-0 or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Cause they scored the run in the 8th on a Rizzo double. And yeah.
Yeah. And that was it.
And Nestor's like, whatever guys, screw you.
Yeah.
Nestor is 1-1. That's his record.
Sounds about right for
them. And I actually think Clay Holmes has 4 wins.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is a very normal stat, you know. Makes yeah, total sure, sense in this day and age.
Oh, wins.
4-0. He's Cy Young. Cy Young Clay Holmes. Why not? Let's go.
Good for you.
Yeah. So those 4 games of Chicago will be interesting, but absolutely they should take care of these games in Baltimore. But who knows? They took care of business last time. Let's hope.
Hopefully hopefully that was a return to form and not the exception to the rule that it has been since last year.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, who knows?
And especially with like Glaber like kind of coming alive, I'm excited to see him go to Baltimore just to see.
Yeah, but it's sort of like with all the Blue Jays stuff. The Yankees are knocking out a whole bunch of games against the Orioles early, which I think I also appreciate, just because as we've talked about, it's never really an enjoyable time playing the Orioles, because if they win, it's like, yeah, good, you're supposed to do that. And if they lose, it's just like the worst feeling.
Yeah. Honestly, there's no AL East team I enjoy playing. The Orioles for that reason exactly. But then the other ones are just like annoying games, and like they take years off my life.
Yeah.
And so while I'm happy that we're getting a lot of the Blue Jays and Orioles games out of the way, I'm not looking forward to a second half that features a lot of the Rays and Red Sox.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the Yankees will only play six games against the Orioles the rest of the way after this stretch, which is really funny.
But, yeah.
But they got a lot with Boston, who will probably not be playing as terribly as they have been for most of the first 2 months. Although I would support them continuing it, you know.
I'm just saying, or before the season began, the Pinstripe Alley predictions, I have the Red Sox in fifth place.
Yeah.
Whether or not I do that every year is besides the point.
Who cares?
But this year, I had them in last place as well.
No, Red Sox want to go in the tank and trade Bogaerts at the deadline too, then, you know, get Devers out of there too. He has sass, you know, or something. Let's get him out.
I saw an article that rumored that Bogaerts' friend or something said that he wants out.
Good.
So let him out. Trade him to the Dodgers, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, they are. Red Sox are down rough, man, and I am here for it.
Yeah. The Trevor Story signing has not worked out, has not been great for them so far, although he did hit his first home run, I guess, yesterday. Yeah,
he finally hit his first home run of the entire season yesterday, May 11th.
Yep.
Always a good sign.
And they got walked off in that game by the Braves. So.
Yeah, they give up a walk-off home run to Orlando Arcia, who was making his first start since April 21st. So that was quite the thing that the Red Sox had to deal with. And we are here for it.
Absolutely here for it. I will never not be here for it.
No, and just like throwing that out there. With this new rivalry roundup series, like, we've mainly just been looking at Yankees rivals, but we are going to keep the Red Sox in there until basically they're deep out of it. Like, it has to get to 2012 levels for me to feel comfortable taking them out, because I don't trust them.
Or you just continue to punch down on them.
It's more just like,
hear me out.
It's more, I just don't want to give extra work. But
maybe it could just be a quick little sentence. Also, the Red Sox suck again today.
That's true. Hopefully the Red Sox just continue to go full 2012 and tank.
Yes. And not just this year, for every year, forever.
Yeah.
Always be bad, Red Sox. Always be bad.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to our BREF leaderboard thing?
Yeah. So there's been a few changes since last time. Aaron Judge still holds the crown, or leading the team in WAR, but Nestor Cortes now sits at second. DJ LeMahieu at third, and Michael King, showing his human self, has fallen to fourth, although him and DJ are tied at 1.1, so it's probably like a fraction of a percentage difference there. Anthony Rizzo is at number five, followed by Mr. I'm going to be the new inhuman reliever in the bullpen, Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
Josh Donaldson, and then making their first appearances on this leaderboard are Jameson Taillon, followed by Gerrit Cole, which is, again, funny that Gerrit Cole is in number nine on the list.
He's finally stormed onto there. Good for him.
Yes. But again, it's the same situation where they're effectively tied at 0.7, so it's probably just like a fraction of a point here and there. And then rounding out the top 12 are Gleyber Torres, Aroldis Chapman, and Giancarlo Stanton. So, yeah. You know, you're starting to see the names you would expect to see here or hope to see on here, just maybe not necessarily in that exact order. Specifically looking at you, Gerrit Cole, I expect him to kind of start making his way back up towards the top there.
Yeah, and it is weird that, like, Josh Donaldson is there, because it feels like he hasn't really hit at all, but with like the ball as dead as it is right now, Donaldson is a 686 OPS, but that's good for an 108 OPS plus. So
right, yeah, it's exactly like he's been, I guess, okay compared to the league. But
yeah, like no power really, but like he's been making plays at third, and he's just, you know, hitting okay. So he's in the top.
His on-base percentage and slugging are almost identical. His on-base percentage is .342, and his slugging is .344.
Weird.
Yeah.
But he's been getting his walks, so, which is basically the only way that Aaron Hicks gets on base now, too. So that's part of it.
Yeah. He had a fun little stretch there for a while.
Yeah. Now he's sort of like faded again.
So. Yeah. Aaron Hicks with the .230 batting average, .383 on base percentage,
yeah.
.270 slugging.
I guess he has more hits than Donaldson then, so good for him, I guess. I don't know.
Let's see. No, actually, he does not. Donaldson has 20 hits to Aaron Hicks' 17.
Oh, well, I guess Donaldson's been playing a little bit more too, because Hicks was after that little stretch when he was becoming a daddy.
Yeah, becoming a daddy.
Yeah. Actually, I guess he was already a dad. It's just like becoming a daddy again. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is getting weird.
Redad. He redadded.
Yeah, he was taking lessons from Lucas Licky on stay-at-home dad.
Yeah. Lucas Licky just telling him, like, no, you don't actually have to stay at home to be a stay-at-home dad. You can still play for the Yankees and be a stay-at-home dad. You don't know how this works, idiot.
Yeah. I just can't imagine Lucas Licky calling anyone an idiot. He's just like, oh, yeah, here. Lucas Licky has also kind of disappeared. I feel like we haven't really seen much of him lately.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of, I guess, bumps in the road, and then he's kind of just fallen.
I think he's just fallen in the pecking order, really, and there's been a lot of close games, so, yeah.
Yeah, his last game pitched was May 3rd.
Ah, well, that'll do it.
But also, he wasn't bad. He pitched an inning, no hits, no runs, no walks. Out.
Yeah.
I guess the before that was he pitched on the first in the Royals game where he went a third of an inning, allowed two hits. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll get some time during the stretch at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's even today.
Probably, actually.
Or at least against the Orioles. Like, yeah. You can throw him, Licky, whatever.
I fully expect you'll see him at some point against the White Sox and the Orioles, but at least one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've thoroughly plumbed through all the B-Rat stuff. So
we have discussed the Yankees enough.
All right. So should we wrap up?
Yeah. I think it's award time.
Yeah, award time. It's the Yankee and Manfred of the Week. Go, team, go.
Woo!
All right, who are you going for Yankee of the Week?
Well, Gleyber Torres. You know, he's obviously since he's come over from the Cubs, like, you know, he's been touted as like a vital part of this team, part of this future. You know, he had a phenomenal first 2 years, and then the last 2 years have been bleak for him, and even starting off this season was not great, and it was just like, okay, so I think this is who Gleyber is now. But he's given a little bit of hope recently. Obviously had a very, very strong week this week. The Yankees have won 4 games since we last recorded, and Gleyber Torres was responsible for 2 of those wins.
Yeah,
with the walk-off on Mother's Day, and then just scoring all the runs on Wednesday. So, you know, kudos.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the Mother's Day walk-off yet, because the Judge walk-off was just dominating our headspace so much.
Yeah. Sorry, Gleyber, you did not have the most fun walk-off this week.
Yeah, that was still a pretty fun walk-off. It was like, oh, cool. And he just became a dad, too. So he did become a dad. So
he became a daddy.
Yeah, let's just lean into how uncomfortable this is.
Oh, God.
Gleyber, daddy, what's up?
The title of this podcast is "Who's Your Daddy Now?" Please, I beg you.
I feel like it's just going to be confusing. It's like, wait, we're not playing the rest.
Oh, it's 100% going to be confusing. That's why I'm saying it. Like, wait, what the hell is this going on?
Who's the dad? I think just who's the daddy now?
Yes, there it is. Nailed it. Anyway, so yeah. I know people were talking about Gleyber hitting that walk-off for his wife's first Mother's Day on Mother's Day. So that was, you know, I don't think that's what exactly was going on in his head, but still a nice little tribute.
Yes, it was. Don't ruin it.
I'm a daddy, you're a mommy, boom!
Exactly like that.
That's exactly what he said in his head. It's like when I imagine when Kobe Bryant was playing and he would just shout Kobe before making a shot, because I think, and that's my headcanon, is that he would always do that because everyone started doing that after. Now Gleyber is just saying, I'm a daddy, you're a mommy, boom.
Same exact thing. Very, very normal stuff. We're good.
Yes, this podcast has gotten into some weird territory.
It's kind of steered off the rails. I'm not sure what rails there were anyway, but
I'm gonna bring it back. So yeah, Gleyber, Yankee of the Week.
Yep, kudos. He's good. Gleyber, good. Gleyber back.
Gleyber back, hopefully.
Yeah, drove in all 5 runs in that last game too. So anyway, my Yankee of the Week will be Nestor, because he almost threw no hitter, and that was an amazing start. And even if you did throw no hitter, I'm gonna give him some kudos. So he's been doing it all year long, and he's been great. And I hope it continues. Sign Nestor.
Nestor, as you saw in my notes, was like my other candidate for Yankee of the Week. I just hadn't made a decision.
Yeah.
But absolutely, like, he was just phenomenal. Obviously, you know, going further than I think he had before, as far as the start is concerned, and just, you know, just doing what he's done all year, but then taking it almost to a whole other level is just impressive. So
yeah,
kudos to him. I think Nestor Cortez All-Star campaign has officially started.
Yeah, let's go. Come on. Send him to LA.
He should start the game.
Yes.
Yes. Calling it.
Get out of here, Garrett Cole, and I don't know, anyone else in the American League.
Honestly, if you had to pick one Yankee starter right now, I think I'd go Nestor over Garrett Cole.
It's pretty close. I don't know. I think honestly, I'd still probably go Cole, but yeah, it's it'd be win-win.
Cole has the pedigree. Nestor has the mustache.
Yeah. So where are you going to go? I mean, Cole's got a mustache.
Yes.
Maybe that's what he needs to do to get to the next level and win that Cy Young Award. He has to actually grow a mustache.
Yes. Gary Cole, grow the mustache, please.
Yes.
But if you grow one, just make it look good like Nestor, not like stupid.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my advice.
All right. Who is your man for the week?
Man for the week is I'm going to kind of talk about something that's been talked about way too often since Gleyber Torres's Mother's Day home run, but Chris Woodward, shut up, man.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Like, oh no, it's a Little League ballpark thing. Okay, man.
So yeah, so Gleyber hit the walk-off in the day game of the Mother's Day doubleheader, the earlier game, and in between the games, Chris Woodward went off and was like talking about, oh, this is a Little League home run and blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, it would have been out in 29 of the 30 other stadiums. It's like, dude, just shut up.
Yeah. Like, and also he was wrong.
Also, yeah, he was wrong. I think it would have been a home run, what, like 26 of the 30 or something like that?
Yeah, it's like for that one, I believe it was not just Yankee Stadium. And it also went further than some of the Rangers' other home runs. So, you know.
Yeah.
The short porch can help you too. Like,
Exactly. If the short porch is that easy to just hit a home run to, then why doesn't your team do it?
Yeah, and then he was like trying to play it off, like, "Oh, I was just, you know, joking around." But like, okay, man.
Yeah, but no, shut up.
Good one.
And like, also, it's been 13 years since this stadium opened. Can we stop it now?
Yeah.
It's not new. It's not a fun thing to talk about. It's find something else.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Maybe just take accountability for your team being shit.
Yeah. And you know what? If you know that the short porch is there, don't give up a home run to somebody there.
Yeah. Dumbass.
Yeah. Stupid.
Got him. All right.
Boom. Roasted.
All right.
Also, you're a major league manager. Like, come on, be better. Yeah. All right. I'm done.
All right, I'm going to make my man for the week IKF because he has not gotten a hit in the entire week. So yeah, unfortunately, I think that merits inclusion in this category. And there's also been a bit of a backslide and some misplays at shortstop. Not like a ton, but like, and I don't think he's going to fully regress to what he was in the first 2 weeks of the season. But, you know, just clean it up a little bit, maybe get a hit or two, and we're good.
Yeah, I think from the first 2 weeks to the following 2 weeks, there's probably some middle ground territory where he probably truly lies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's as atrocious as or bad as the first 2 weeks was, but he's obviously not as good as the following 2 weeks were.
No.
But you know, that's exactly what you paid for with the IKF. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
You're getting what you get. They're getting what they wanted, I guess.
Yeah. So congratulations, guys. All right. Well, it was just a very light, come on, IKF, do better. And we can move on from there.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, think that'll do it for us unless you have anything else you want to plug.
Just shut up, Chris Woodward and Brian Cashman.
Yeah, that's fair. Just
throwing it up back out there.
Yeah. Jerks.
Jerk stores.
All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. Follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. What ice cream flavor are you recommending this week?
Uh, Cookies and Cream, I guess, because that's my favorite. And I was not expecting that question.
I was like, where are we going to go with this? Because we don't need to recommend that anyone go to Twitter, really. So let's just talk about ice cream.
Yes.
We're going to pivot.
Maybe that's what we'll do. Instead of me coming up with the Twitter handle every week, I'll just start recommending an ice cream flavor of the week.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Or just answering random questions. We'll see. We'll mix it up.
You know what? Let's do the random questions. That's your job. Figure out a random question to ask me.
Yeah. It's just like, see where it goes. All right. Well, cookies and cream. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes.
There's an accident at the factory, and that now there's cookies and cream ice cream.
Wait, what?
Referencing those cereals that it's like, oh, there's an accident at the factory, and now there's this thing, and it's just like,
oh,
yeah.
My mind went to wait, do you not know cookies and cream ice cream exists? Because it's a very real thing.
It's like, well, cookies and cream? Who would have thought of this?
Who would have thought putting cookies with ice cream?
Yeah. Anyway, this is fully off from the Yankees at this point. So let's just hope the Yankees do some winning. Keep it going. Hey, they've won 7 series in a row. Let's make it 8, maybe 9, maybe 10.
Just win all the series.
Yeah, simple enough.
And then the Yankees will be the daddy.
All right. Bye.